for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 397 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. This week is the return of Ed Jowett from Shades of Vengeance, and he's promoting Bug War Volume 1, which has a Kickstarter going on right now. If you go to Bug War Volume 1 on Kickstarter, you'll find it there, and it's definitely worth supporting. Ed talks about what you'll find in this volume, including some great extras and three issues that they've already produced, and what the stories are behind them. We also talk about what other things Shades of Vengeance has going on, but I hope once you listen to this podcast, you'll go right to Kickstarter and support Bug War Volume 1, because I want to see more of it, and I hope you will too. There's a lot to get to in this episode, so let's get on with the show.
Our civilization is on the brink of war. A mysterious alien race attacked our citizens during an attempt at peaceful contact, brutally murdering every single one. This cannot be left to stand. We must cross the threshold. We must strike back at these aggressors. We must show them the Consortium will not let this go. We must prove that, while we were open to peace, we have teeth. Scott Lee, CEO and Senator of the Consortium.
It's great to welcome back to the podcast Ed Jowett from, let's see, Shades of Vengeance.
That's right.
I struggle to remember that, Ed, for some reason. But anyway, it's good to have you back, and you've got a Kickstarter going on, so why don't we get right to it. Talk about the Kickstarter that's happening right now.
Well, before I do that, I just want to say it's great to be back. Thanks so much for having me back. Obviously, you've had John quite a number of times, and I've picked up for him because he's busy with personal stuff. So I'm dealing with this particular one. We actually wrote it together, which is it's been a winning formula to date. We've really, as a general rule, we've done a really good job when we work together. Blue Shift, the various other bits and pieces. So this one is a graphic novel that is a combination of the three Bug War stories that we've released separately in the past. So it's a really good opportunity for people who maybe didn't know about them or only got one of them to sort of catch up. I think that we've put enough extra material in there that it's sort of worth getting hold of. It's a lovely 80-page paperback gloss print. You will absolutely love it, I promise. The physical version is to die for. I think if it's okay, what I'll do is I'll quickly go through the plot of each of the three things, because it's structured like an anthology. The three stories are very much linked and interconnected, and characters appear in multiple ones. But it all begins with Declaration, which is the first story that we wrote about the Bug War. And Declaration is a coming-of-age story about Haishang Hayden, who is a rich party girl. She's Bruce Wayne without the Batman bit. You know, she is literally the daughter of the richest woman in the entire Consortium. And given the Consortium, you know, in the Consortium, power is based on money and profit. And Hayden Bank, the company that her mother runs, is the biggest and most profitable company in the whole Consortium. She's never had to worry about anything in her entire life. At least that's what she believes is the case. And she, you know, it begins with her waking up after a party, hangover and all. We meet her helper, Anna Bailey, who is sort of the Alfred, but in the sense that, you know, tries to keep her doing the things that she has to stay alive, like not having champagne for breakfast and actually eating food, things like that. And what happens is, you know, Anna sort of says, look, you've got to watch this message. And Hai Shang's just not interested. She's hungover. She just wants to sort of have some champagne for breakfast and then go and figure out how she's going to kill some more brain cells, you know? Something about the way that Anna presents herself makes Hai Shang realize that something's happened. And when she finally asks, she finds out that her mother was in fact murdered during first contact with an alien race. And the bottom falls out of her world. That my absolute favorite page of the comic is just the one where she's realizing she's hearing what's been said, and just the way the panels have been arranged, they just kind of get increasingly higgledy-piggledy and fall apart. Mm-hmm. You know, her world falls apart. Her mother is dead. Suddenly, this person who has been running the company her whole life, you know, she seemed immortal. Suddenly, that parent is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, and how do you react to that? Mm-hmm. Well, the way Hai Shang reacts is, you know, she just plans to sort of pass it off to sort of the next person in line. You know, she's the heir, but she's not qualified. You know, she looks back at her life and just thinks, I don't know anything. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know anything about living. I don't know anything about running a company. I've just lived on my money all my life. Mm-hmm. You know, so she sort of, I'll just go the Bruce Wayne route and have money. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So she does sort of sit there and listen to this message, which was a message left by her mother before she left because she knew it was dangerous. Mm-hmm. And in this message, her mother explains that when she was young, she was just like Hai Shang. Mm. You know, it's sort of like a realization that, you know, Hai Shang was not planned. You know, it was youthful excess, right? Mm-hmm. And Asya, her mother, Hai Shang's mother, literally gave up everything, you know, like signed away everything to do with owning, running Hayden Bank and everything, just to keep Hai Shang. Mm-hmm. Then there was an assassin that tried to kill everyone to seize power. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Anna, who in fact has been friends with Asya forever, mm-hmm. And was her bodyguard even when Asya was young and wild, mm-hmm. Only Hai Shang and Asya survived. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They survived this explosion that was aimed at killing them. Mm-hmm. And Asya therefore became the head of Hayden Bank. And she was in exactly the situation that Hai Shang's in now, where she's just going, I know nothing about this. I know nothing about raising a child. I know nothing about running a company. And she became increasingly, you know, she explains how, you know, she didn't want to, but the necessities meant that she became increasingly distant as Hai Shang grew. And then when, you know, they had good times when she was young, and as Hai Shang grew, she didn't want her mother in her life anymore. Mm-hmm. So Asya sort of had Anna get involved, you know, very closely. Mm-hmm. And this realization, you know, that your parent just said, look, you're the CEO now, and this is not a mistake. Mm-hmm. I did this because I knew what I was doing, because I've been there and I know you can do it. Mm-hmm. I have faith in you. I believe in you. Mm-hmm. And sort of she then explains, you know, she knows that first contact's dangerous. She knows that, you know, she might not come back. Mm-hmm. And if that happens, here's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. And the here's what you need to do is record a message on a memory drive, which has lasted for 200 years, 200 years of Hayden's, mm-hmm. about 30 generations. And Hai Shang sort of has sat there sort of, okay, well, you've asked me to do this and record this message. She plugs in this message and she sees the face of Benjamin Hayden, who is, you know, the first, you know, he founded Hayden Bank. He built something in a colonized, you know, a newly colonized world. No one knew what to do. Mm-hmm. And he just, you know, he made Hayden Bank a thing. Mm-hmm. And he just explains that he wasn't ready. Mm-hmm. When he started, he had no idea what he was getting into. Mm-hmm. But he did know that he wanted to be on top, and the knowledge he had could get him there. Mm-hmm. So he put the work in, he did that, and he emerged with Hayden Bank. Mm-hmm. And what happens is the next CEO appended her message to this recording as well. Mm-hmm. And she says she wasn't ready either. And the next, and the next, and the next. And many of them say they were ready, and many of them say they weren't. Mm-hmm. But they explain what it means to be Hayden's CEO in a way that helps Haisheng understand. Mm-hmm. And each one of them ends with their, I would almost call it their family motto. Mm-hmm. Don't screw anyone who doesn't have it coming. And I love that. I love that in essence. Mm-hmm. You know, it's sort of this way of doing business. Mm-hmm. And by the end of watching all of these things, Haisheng, you know, sits down. She records the message and says, "You know what? I am ready. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize it. I never realized it. But my mother taught me everything I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And now I am ready to run this company, and I am ready to take the consortium to war to avenge my mother." So and she ends the message with, "Don't screw anyone who doesn't have it coming."
So they did it intentionally. They killed the mother intentionally. It wasn't a misunderstanding or something. This was intentional.
Haisheng doesn't care, right? Her mother is dead. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, as a matter of fact, anyone who knows my work will actually be aware that, yes, in fact, it was an accident. Mm-hmm. You know, there was a misunderstanding at first contact. Mm-hmm. Something was construed as threatening. And the aliens who are sort of ant like, they're bug like.
Right.
Reacted and started ripping people in half. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. They thought they were being threatened. Mm-hmm. But Haisheng doesn't care. This is an act of war. They killed her mother. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. I often think of it a bit like in Captain America Civil War. Mm-hmm. Tony knows that it wasn't really Bucky as he is now that killed his mother. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. He killed his mother. Mm-hmm. And that means that he has to die. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I kind of think of it in a similar way. The movie came out at the same time as we were actually writing this. Hmm. And Haisheng is then left with this, you know, this tremendous responsibility, but also the responsibility to convince the Senate mm-hmm. of the consortium mm-hmm. to go to war, because no one wants that, mm-hmm. right? Wars don't make profit. Mm-mm. And the consortium's about profit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she needs to convince them. And that's what kind of the remainder of the comic is all about. I don't want to spoiler it for you. That's mm-hmm. kind of the setup.
Right. Well, you've got other characters that come in besides her, too. There's a male helper who comes along. And he's the focus. So you want to talk a little bit about him, too?
Yeah. So the second comic, as you say, Liam Payne is Haisheng's best operative. He's something known as a Shade. In the consortium, who are specially kind of assigned operatives who work for Hayden Bank. Haisheng, you know, when she realizes that, you know, she's announced they're at war, the head of Smertial Security is going, "What the hell did you just do? Why, you know, we can't fight this. We know nothing about this enemy." Mm-hmm. So she calls on her best Shade, and she says, "Hey, you are going to go scout and find out what this enemy are all about." And she gives him a prototype ship, and he heads out to this other world where the aliens are. Mm-hmm. And he takes with him his virtual assistant, who he refers to as Val. Mm-hmm. And she kind of supports him and deals with anything he needs. Think sort of like a VI in Mass Effect, mm-hmm. and you're in the right region. Mm-hmm. She's not got intelligence of her own, mm-hmm. but, you know, she understands well enough, and he's programmed her quite extensively to do what he needs. Mm-hmm. And he literally walks around inside this hive without being noticed. Mm-hmm. He's sneaking along, you know, he's investigating, he's finding out. And what he finds is not what he expects to find. Mm-hmm. You know, he finds that the Zimians they don't actually know that they're called that. They call them the Bugs.
Mm-hmm.
He finds that they are, you know, they care for their children. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no such thing as a military target. All the military Bugs have families.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of stuff all happens.
Mm-hmm.
And he ends up, you know, kind of on the horns of a dilemma, because he knows that no matter what he sends back, you know, they're going to bombard the planet, and he can't send back anything that doesn't sort of kill civilians. And that's mm-hmm. not what he's here for. He doesn't want to murder people. Mm-hmm. He just wants to end, you know, help the war end quickly and decisively.
Mm-hmm.
So he is forced into a decision, and he decides that he is going to send back the information and let them know.
Mm-hmm.
But the minute that he decides that, the aliens can smell him because his pheromones change. He's become aggressive, and he doesn't escape, but he manages to get Val back onto his ship to send the probe back, you know, a probe back to Haishang with the information that he's gathered,
mm-hmm.
and he's captured.
Mm-hmm.
And the remainder of the comic is about how he tries to escape.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I don't want to spoiler it for you, because mm-hmm. that's primarily the setup. The remainder of the comic is, you know, can he escape?
Mm-hmm.
Can he get back before the bombardment happens? And he probably dies.
Mm-hmm.
And that just leads to the third story.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because in the third story, as I said, they all cross over. So Haishang was in both of the first two, main character in the first one, sort of a little more secondary in the second one.
Mm-hmm.
But you remember the head of Smertio Security I mentioned, Joel Gustav.
Mm-hmm.
When during the course of the second comic, in something I don't want to spoiler you,
mm-hmm.
An event occurs that really forces him to commit suicide
mm-hmm.
to maintain his honor.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, the aliens now know that the humans are going to attack them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they ready a fleet and head for human space to try and fight back. The third comic takes place aboard the ship that's the linchpin of that fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sort of the story of a captain and his first officer primarily.
Mm-hmm.
And the captain, we establish very quickly, is not actually all that talented. He takes credit for the things that particularly the first officer, who's a very gifted tactician, mm-hmm. does.
Mm-hmm.
And when they end up in this intense battle, which is unlike anything the consortium's ever seen before,
mm-hmm.
he gives up. He sort of asks other ships to get in their way, to block for them. He retreats and wants to fire from a distance so he can escape easily.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to leave and just blow up the wormhole so they can't come through, he thinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's looking for a way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the first officer is left in a situation where he's trying to, you know, he can see they can win because he has a good tactical mind. But mm-hmm. how do you cope with this?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what this is about. You know, how do you get past the problems that come from, shall we say, an inept manager, an inept captain,
mm-hmm.
Who's deciding the directions.
Mm-hmm. It's very non-Star Trek in that way.
Very.
Star Trek, everybody's a great tactician. Everybody can do this stuff. This is not that case. It's nice to see something a little more human. You know, the Next Generation always bothered me because they were all so perfect. And I'd always like, you know, I don't know anybody that's going to be like these people. But, you know, to see somebody in a situation like that where there's conflict, and of course conflict is the essence of drama, you introduce drama to the situation, which is really good because then it's much more interesting for me anyway. And that's one thing I loved about the third book was it was so fascinating to see them go a non-Star Trek route and deal with stuff. I really loved that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been a Star Trek fan my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
So I absolutely understand what Gene Roddenberry was trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he's done that.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to do something different, you know, mm-hmm. and I don't think that that's a unique thing for me to say. I think there are a lot of series out there, sci-fi series, that try to do something that's a little more human.
Mm-hmm.
And I salute Gene Roddenberry's optimism and belief in humanity.
Mm-hmm.
to the end of time. You know, I wish I could believe what he believes. I wish I could see what he saw. Mm-hmm. But I can't do that. I could write something like that, but I wanted to write something about sort of the kind of experiences that I've had in my life. Mm-hmm. Because I spent a lot of my life, my professional life, mm-hmm. not as a game designer or comic writer, but the project management side of my career, mm-hmm. Being told that I can't be any good because I'm too young. Mm. And watching people who were genuinely inept mm. take credit for everything that I'd done. Mm. How do you react to that situation? That proves what kind of person you are. Mm-hmm. I wanted to sort of put that in a situation where there were really high stakes, mm-hmm. you know, like mm-hmm. this is the life or death of your sister, the consortium in general. Mm-hmm. What do you do when this person whips out, you know, just he's been taking credit for all your work forever. And when the crunch comes, he can't do it. Mm-hmm. He can't take the risk. Mm-hmm. And that, as an idea, that interested me.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's something unique. You know, like I said, it's not just Star Trek that does this too. Other things have always gotten their commanders and stuff have always been, you know, brilliant people who know exactly what to do every time. To see this kind of a story, And the route that it takes, you know, not to spoil anything, was to me really fascinating, because I love the look of it and the way that it turns out towards the end is just great. I mean, I'd never seen that before, let's just say. And for somebody who's been around science fiction as long as I have, I loved seeing something new and something different. So I have to congratulate you on that. I love that.
Thank you very much. And you know, I'm sure John's listening because he always listens. and half of those congratulations have to go to John, because we sat down together and said, okay, how do we tell a story that's different? How do we do something that people don't see every day?
Mm-hmm. Which is great. And, you know, you guys have accomplished that. And so, I highly recommend this book. I want to talk about some more aspects of it, too. But it's called The Bug of War, Volume 1. And according to Kickstarter, it ends on September 7th at 3 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time.
That's right. It's 9 p.m. British summertime.
Wow. Okay. And what's happening is at the time that we're talking, we're recording this a little early, you've already met your goal, but there's still lots of good things to support. And you're probably going to have some great stretch goals and things like that along the way. But the time is fleeting, and you've got to get in there and support it now, because September 7th isn't far away, as this posts.
Yeah, I think that, there are some things I would love to do as a stretch goal. Mm-hmm. When John and I sat down originally, we actually planned out 6 Bug War stories. And we never quite got to the point that we brought in enough with Bug War 3 to do number 4. Mm-hmm. But we would absolutely love to continue this saga of the Bug War.
Well, you know, you called it Volume 1, which, of course, gives me to notice that this is not a completely self-contained story. It's a satisfying story where it is, but there's obviously much more you can do with it. So there might be a Volume 2 in our future, hopefully.
I really hope so, because Haishang isn't done. Mm-hmm. Hale, unfortunately, will probably not be returning for reasons that are explained in the third comic. Mm-hmm. Liam is probably not done either. Mm-hmm. And we've got several new characters, which are, in fact, there's a specific person who I want to shout out to here, and that's Drew Spenceley, who worked a lot with me on the initial draft of the Era of the Consortium story. Mm-hmm. There are 2 characters in particular he really, really, really wants to see, mm-hmm. Which would sort of be around the time that we're looking at Bug War number 4. Mm-hmm. And they are Diane Green, mm-hmm. and her squad, and Adam Robertson, who ends up being very, very important in the Bug War. Mm-hmm. Again, for reasons I can't really talk about, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. but definitely an interesting character.
Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people that we haven't met, I'm sure, that can add to the story and can fill out parts that we haven't seen yet, because you've set up a really interesting premise and a really interesting situation too, because I'd like to see, you know, a lot more of this stuff. There's some people involved, I think, that are really just wonderful, and I'd love to, the main character, I'm so interested that you start out with an Asian female as the lead character. I just find that so fascinating, because, you know, not many science fiction stories do that, shall we say. At least not that I'm aware of. And I've always run into, it's just like comic books, it's usually a white male. And, you know, as much as I appreciate that, it's nice to see something a little different. And, you know, that seems to be your whole premise and everything, is to do something that we haven't seen before. And I like that. I like that about her. I want to see more about her. Because, you know,
She has a lot more story that I need to tell. Because what's interesting is that in the Bug War 2, she finds out she's made a big mistake, right? And the Bug War 3 is the immediate follow-up, the aftermath of that story. But, you know, sort of the Bug War 4 needs to go back to her now that she realizes that what she did was tactically wrong. In fact, what Joel Gustav says on the first page, that she doesn't know everything she thinks she does, is right. Right? He says, look, you aren't right about this. I've been doing this a few years now, you know, and you're wrong. And she says, no, I'm right. I'm definitely right. And she's got a bit of that teenager, I'm always right thing going on.
Immortal.
Which, yeah, exactly. And what happens on the day when she realizes that she got it wrong? Right, that's happened sort of concurrently with Bug War 3, that she realizes that she got it wrong. But we haven't seen her. She doesn't feature in the Bug War 3. But there's a lot more for her to do. There's a lot more for her to understand about herself, about the consortium, about the aliens, and about what needs to be done if she's going to bring this to her, some sort of conclusion that doesn't just have three solar systems of dead worlds.
Now, I have to talk a little bit about the aliens, because I'm always interested, and it's always fascinating to me that science fiction always tends to take something that's Earth science or technology or something, and we extrapolate it out into something. You have the bugs, you know, we have bugs on Earth, and of course these are creatures that have evolved in a different, you know, in a probably in a different setting, but they are still bugs to us. And it's interesting to see that evolution has treated them in some ways the same that it has treated humans on Earth, let's say. And I was just, you know, the second issue to me was a real eye-opener, because, you know, sometimes bugs are just totally, they don't have anything that is relatable, shall we say. And but you do this so that they are relatable, that this isn't just a black and white situation. There's grays involved. And I like that about it, because I think, you know, too often, as we know from like past wars, it's easy to make the people you're fighting to be non-human, and that, and to know that there's something interesting or relatable in the people you're fighting, it changes your perspective on it. And that's the fun part about 2 to 3, is that we get to see a lot of changing in the way of how we view this whole war and what's going on and the people we're fighting.
Absolutely. And what I didn't want to do, and this goes right the way back to when I originally wrote the full 500 years of consortium history, which, as I've said before in your podcast, is in the Era of the Consortium core rulebook. I didn't want Starship Troopers. Right. I wanted something that was horrible, but it was horrible because both sides suffered. Right. And the end of the Bug War, I don't want to spoiler it in case I make, you know, like make it all the way to the end of the Bug War with these comics. The end of the Bug War is crushing. It's horrible. And what it does to the Zimians as a people is a significant factor in sort of what comes next in the history. And in order for that to be a thing, they have to be, I'm not going to say human because that's not quite right, but they have to be clearly intelligent, sentient beings who care about every single life. And I am, I have no doubt, obviously he doesn't speak Zimian. Mm-hmm. I have no doubt that the majority of the ones he run into don't want to just massacre him on the street.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I'm talking about Liam in issue two, of course.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to just massacre him on the street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why they ignore him. They probably knew he was there the whole time. And what the Zimians are willing to sacrifice to save their people is another thing that's interesting. You know, mm-hmm. they don't go into this with their eyes closed. The irony of this whole thing is they never would have attacked.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was a misunderstanding at the first contact, and it all would have ended. Like, if the humans had not come back, there wouldn't have been a war.
Mm-hmm.
They were just happy to let well enough be.
Mm-hmm.
And humans, being humans, had to reach in and meddle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they had to do something. They had to get payback. They had to. And to me, I find that sort of a very interesting thought.
Mm-hmm.
That sometimes you end up in a situation where if you left it alone, it would get better on its own. Time heals all wounds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But most people aren't capable of doing it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And I find that quite interesting. And I wanted to kind of have that as part of the story.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's really fascinating. It's like I said, it's from my reading, and I've read for years and years, I've read science fiction. This to me was a very unique story. And it went places I haven't seen. And as such, I'm drawn to things like that. I mean, if you can go somewhere I haven't been, then wow, I'm on board completely with it. And I like that. I did want to talk a little bit about the artwork, which I really enjoy.
Absolutely.
Talk about putting the art team together and like designing the characters and stuff like that. How did that process go?
So a lot of the work was done for me by the fact that, again, Era of the Consortium, the universe that this exists in, has a full role-playing game rulebook. It's got all of the sort of costume design and stuff, which is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Hai Shang Hayden is one of my favorite characters from that story. Mm-hmm. So she had actually already had an image as well in mm-hmm. one of the expansions
mm-hmm.
Because she changed what it meant to be a shade. Mm. And one of the expansion's focuses around shades.
Mm-hmm.
So sort of we had a rough idea of what she looked like.
Mm-hmm.
I should say that Brian Brinley did 3/4 of the work around all of this.
Mm.
He is that's probably not fair because obviously Saffet and later Edwin,
mm-hmm.
They did a lot of the work with the coloring.
Mm-hmm.
But Brian, all we really did was say to Brian, hey, she looks broadly like this.
Mm-hmm.
At the beginning, she has long hair. Later, she has short hair and, you know, she has it cut after her mother dies. You know, she sort of changes the way she looks to look a little more sort of professional and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And beyond like her hair length,
mm-hmm.
That was pretty much it. You know, we said, she wears this kind of business suit because this is a business suit in the consortium. Mm-hmm. Anna wears this stuff, you know, and then he just took it and ran with it. We showed him what the Zimians look like. We showed him what spacesuits look like and so on. But we sort of gave him direction on the panel. John's writing style is very similar to DC Comics.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes into quite a lot of detail on what is in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of, as he was sort of the more experienced, particularly at the time when we wrote the first one of these, I sort of folded into his style.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, this is what's happening in the scene.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Brian, you're the artist.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Wrangles, it's all you, man. We aren't artists. We don't know how to show this.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what's going on. Show this thing in a way that's compelling. Mm-hmm. And Brian went away, and he is genuinely one of the best I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
He is fantastic, and he really, really did the job. Mm-hmm. 100%.
There's always two things I look for. I look for facial expressions to be able to understand what the person is thinking or feeling. And then I also look at the action sequences. Do I buy it? Do I believe what's going on? Both of those are real strong. I mean, I look at people's faces. I mean, I look at the main character's face, and she has this kind of calm confidence that I find interesting in her face. And then the action sequences, of course, the ultimate one is when the mother gets meets her final fate. That is like a very gripping action sequence, indeed, shall we say. And so to me, it's very concrete. It's very easy to understand who's doing what and what's happening. And I just enjoyed it because it's easy to get lost in this stuff, especially if you've got different characters with the same hair colors or of the same.
Yeah, no, I was going to say that. Well, Asya clearly has a different nationality to Haishang. Mm-hmm. You know, the most of the characters look different facially, mm-hmm, right? You look at these characters and you can tell, you know, that they aren't the same person. You don't just need to see the faces. Sorry, the hair color's different.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Anna and Asya look different.
Right.
Right.
Right. Which is great. I mean, you know, that's an accomplishment. I mean, not everybody can do that believably. Mm. And sometimes when I go from page to page, I lose track of, now, who is that again? But I never have that trouble with this book. This is a very strongly done and gripping, too. I mean, the way that it's done is it moves the story along really rapidly and really in a gripping way. So that I'm surprised this thing's happened, but I understand why. So I think that the artwork really does a lot to tell the story along those ways. So
I think the pacing is really important as well, because mm-hmm, I think, like, when you're in this situation, your emotions are driving you, and in general, your emotions are much quicker, mm-hmm, right? And that's very true. There's only one place, really, where, and I'll be honest, I think it is emotion. You know, John and I had this discussion quite a lot, mm-hmm, but I think it is emotion that's the shall we say, the final incident in the Bug War number 3. Mm-hmm. I think that's emotion. I don't think that's entirely logic. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that is the only moment where we let emotion take time. Mm-hmm. Because emotion, in nearly every case, causes a reaction of some sort. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Whereas we devoted a good number of panels to that because it needed it. It needed to be that moment. Mm-hmm. Bang. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just very strong storytelling. I've got to ask though, because I know you guys do video games and stuff like that too. Was it an interesting transition to go from, say, a video game to a comic, which is, you know, instead of having things moving parts all the time, you have to take like snapshots instead of doing the whole sequence. How was that transition for you? Was it easy? Was it difficult? How did you guys deal with that?
So I'm really sorry, but I've mentioned this before, but otherwise my answer won't make any sense. So I'm going to have to do this one again. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. We don't make video games. We make tabletop role-playing games and card games.
Right, right, right.
So the reason I mentioned that is actually this was a transition in the opposite direction to what you're talking about. Mm. We were in a situation where we write stories, mm-hmm, and we often have one snapshot to illustrate that story at most, mm, right? We mm-hmm, we don't even get two. Mm-hmm. And suddenly being able to show things. Mm-hmm. So even the first panel of the first comic, I could not have written that in less than a paragraph. Mm-hmm. But it's a tremendous opportunity to be able to, and this is very much John's watchword for me when I'm trying to write comics, show, don't tell.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You want to minimize the dialogue you've got. You want to minimize the different sort of things that you're doing on the panel. Mm-hmm. And you want to encapsulate as much of it as you can within the panels. And this is something that you know, during my time writing comics, I've really tried to take on board. John, obviously, is a master. Mm-hmm. And I've actually been writing comics for 6 years now, which I can hardly believe. During that time, I've published 14 comics to date.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I, you know, I really try to embody this idea that you can show these multiple snapshots of a scene. And again, the first page of the first comic is really a study in that for me. I was trying to show everything without her barely saying anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that this is quite interesting because quite recently we've started making audio dramas.
Mm-hmm.
And we started with, in fact, Declaration, the Bug War number one.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've literally just been sent the final, you know, as of recording, mm-hmm. I've literally just been sent the final audio by the editor.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to make this scene come to life in audio mm-hmm. without the image mm-hmm. is a real challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are people there and she stands up. And she pulls the covers off the bed. And how do you describe that in the audio mm-hmm. was a really interesting challenge. And I think we've done really, really well.
Hmm.
But it's the complete antithesis of being able to do it in a comic. You have to tell, not show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you don't really want to have endless narration explaining what's going on because that doesn't really make a good audio drama.
Right.
You want to have the characters do it for you, and you don't want them to be doing constant exposition because that's kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So making the transition from telling the story in writing to telling the story in images was really, it was, I'm not going to lie, it was tricky, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think I've got the hang of it now, I'd like mm-hmm. to think, this many comics in. But mm-hmm. certainly the first few comics, I really did struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very much a learning experience for me.
Interesting.
An exciting challenge.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always say this, I'm sure, but I'll try to remember what it is, the stuff that you guys do. But I don't know why I think video games all the time. I just it's because I see so many video games in my circle, and I default to that. But I'll remember that next time. Hopefully.
Don't worry about it at all. It's really not a problem.
Speaking of which, I mean, you mentioned the audio. If somebody wants to get a hold of the audio, how do they do that?
So at the moment, it needs to go to the Kickstarter backers. And okay. One thing that I'm very, 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 very set on is the people who made it happen get a couple of months with it before anyone else gets to touch it.
Okay.
That's really, really important to me in principle, mm-hmm. because otherwise, why not just wait for it to come out,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, then it would never happen. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I need to make sure that those people understand that they are special,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that it really have made a difference for us.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you do want the audio, we have in fact, and this is an exclusive for you, Wayne,
mm-hmm.
We have in fact recorded the Bug War number 2
mm-hmm.
and the Bug War number 3.
Mm.
And one of those is in the process of editing, and the other one I need to do some work on before it can be edited, mm-hmm. Take selection and such. Mm-hmm. But it's the exact same team that did Bug War number 1.
Ooh.
And I think it's very likely that we will offer the Bug War number 1 as one of the Kickstarter rewards in the Bug War number 2.
Ooh.
So keep an eye out,
mm-hmm.
because I think there might be another opportunity to get hold of it as a Kickstarter backer.
Now,
failing that, we are working on Audible at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
We're actually awaiting, there's like a 2-week approval process,
mm-hmm.
and I've just submitted a few days ago. So we are expecting it to go up on Audible. It might not be released immediately when the approval process goes through.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be, you know, it'll be a little while before I allow it to happen, as I said,
mm-hmm.
To thank the Kickstarter backers. But in the near future, I would expect you to be able to get it on Audible. And, of mm-hmm. course, on our website store, I'll make it available at the same time, www.shadesofvengeance.com.
Right. Now, let me ask you something, though. If somebody were to, let's say, get the book and get the audio, if you wanted to play the audio while you're reading the book, how would that – would it enhance the experience? Is it not necessary? I mean, what would you think if somebody did that?
I think that it would enhance the experience,
mm-hmm.
but I should caution they don't entirely match up totally.
Mm-hmm.
For example, again, taking the first page of the first comic, I think that's the least spoiler thing I can do.
Mm-hmm.
When she leaves that room,
mm-hmm.
she then steps into the shower.
Mm-hmm.
And then sort of leans against the wall and sighs. And that's the end of that scene.
Mm-hmm.
And the same content is there
mm-hmm.
as in the comic, but we enhanced it slightly to tell the story slightly better.
Hmm.
Everyone knows that showers are like, you know, sort of manna from heaven when you have a hangover.
Well, that'd be a good thing. So I'm going to give that a try just because I plan to have both of those because I don't want to give it a... The reason I say that is because back in the day when the third Nexus book came out, they put a disc, we would say now, in the process. And you could read the book and play the disc to it. And I've always... that was a different experience for me. I liked that, and so I might give that a try here because I think it's something we could do.
I think if you listen to it, you'll find it does match up. If there's extra, it's mostly in the audio, with one exception. There's one scene that I deliberately did not include in the audio of Bug War Number One, and that's the very, very final scene. Because spoilers, I couldn't figure out how to do it without giving away sort of the secrets at the beginning of Bug War Two.
Okay. That's like, well, see, storytelling, that's the thing. You know, that's the thing you guys do really well, and I'm looking forward to all this. Cause now, I've read 1 through 3, which I really enjoyed, and I want to highly endorse this thing and encourage people to get on board, and I think I want to get both of them. I want to make sure I have both of those things into it, because I just think this is one of those great stories that deserves to be supported. So if you're listening and you get out there and support this thing, because The Bug War, it's called, and it's Volume 1 is listed under, and there'll be good, other good things. Now, speaking of which... Of course, you guys always have irons in the fire of what's going forward, and you've talked about that there are, you've talked about 6 stories that you had involved in this. How are you progressing with other stuff? Are you doing more of the Bug War? Are there other things that you guys are doing right now? What's keeping you guys busy when you're not doing Bug War?
Well, as you say, I'm always busy. I have quite a lot of things on, as per usual. So the next thing that I'm likely to release is called Era Forbidden, and it's my latest tabletop role-playing game. It's kind of inspired by the fact that I sat down and played all 3 Darksiders games in a row when Darksiders 3 came out, and also Hellboy, the new Hellboy movie, released at the same time. And they both kind of have this very similar sort of supernatural angels versus demons vibe. And I picked that up and I ran with that to make something that was a little different to what I usually see in role-playing games. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
You're good.
I'm also working on a couple of card games at the moment. I've got one in particular that's pretty much done getting there. So that's going to be coming soon, called Adapt. And then most importantly to you and your listeners, Violet Number 2 is now halfway through, colored. And it is looking absolutely phenomenal. It is going to land before too much longer. We also have, similar to the Bug War Volume 1, we have a sort of a trade paperback of Lacuna, Blue Shift, and Violet. Again, the idea being to give people the opportunity to catch up, to give people the opportunity to say, hey, we are interested, we'd like to see more. I have recently been talking to Dorfie's Jean about Fauna Number 2. So we're just preparing to put that story together. I'm sure there are other things going on, but I can't bring them to mind right now.
That's fine. You are thinking far in advance now when you get to these other projects. But, man, you guys do such good stuff. I really enjoy them. I was actually thinking just before you started talking about the fact that you ought to collect the heroic stuff together into like a volume and stuff like that, because that would be fun. I'd like to have all those stories in one place. I think that'd be a great thing.
The funny thing about that is actually I've planned about 15 issues down the line for each character, and I planned them in groups of 3. So Lacuna, Blue Shift, and Violet are very, very much interlinked. They're very sort of there's one character that runs through 2 of those 3. And it's very clear that Violet and Blue Shift go on at the same moment, number one. And then Violet Number 2 and Blue Shift Number 2, again, there's a synergy there. And Penumbra is going to have her own comic that is the third in that collection. And then Mm-hmm. We've talked about this before. That's mm-hmm. where the team up has to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
We've got an entire 3-issue arc planned for those four heroes to team up and do things together.
Mm.
And Fauna will continue on his own. Lobo, I've had some requests for another comic for Lobo, so I'm looking into that
mm-hmm.
With Leonor, who wrote mm-hmm. the first one with me.
Mm-hmm.
I have a lot of things that I would like to do and never enough time to do them all until I become a millionaire and can start passing off some of the jobs I don't want to do. Because
mm-hmm.
There are always jobs you don't want to do.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things that I'd like to do. I have recently passed the 7th anniversary of beginning my kind of creative career.
Wow. Well, congratulations.
And I can't see myself stopping for another 5 years.
Okay.
You know, and that's just the stuff that I know about, right?
Mm-hmm.
When I sat down and played 3 Darksiders games in a row and then watched the Hellboy movie, I was like, I know, I'm going to make a game. These things happen to me.
See, that's the thing with creative people. I always tell the story of a guy who watched a documentary on slaughtering pigs, and he came away with a thing called Slaughterman's Creed. It was a comic book, and I when I interviewed him, I said, you know, I don't think I'd do that. I wouldn't come watch this and then come away with an idea for a comic book. So I have this. That's the creative mind. I just have to tell you, it's just a wonderful thing. And when you're a comic book creator or a storyteller like you are, it's just something that it's wonderful to hear. You know how you guys come up with these things and make these things happen. It's just terrific.
Thank you very much. Okay. I'm not sure how to respond. I'm a bit stunned. Thank you very much indeed, Wayne.
All right. Well, again, it's The Bug War Volume 1, and it's on Kickstarter right now. Again, it's going to end on September 7 at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, and that's about 9 p.m. your time over in,
correct, yeah,
in your part of the world. And it's going to be a great thing. I highly recommend this book. I have to say it again. If you haven't read them, or even if you have, I think you're going to want to get the extra stuff and the great story that's involved with this. Something different and new, and boy, I have to treasure those good things. So it's The Bug War, and there's other good things to do at shadesofvengeance.com that we want to keep up with their other stuff. But I again, get to The Bug War Volume 1 and make sure that you support it, because I want more of this stuff, and I can't wait to see what else you guys have in mind. So support The Bug War Volume 1, and let's make those those last 3 stories, and maybe even more if they come to mind when you're doing them. I'd like to be able to see all that too. So, Ed, keep up these wonderful things.
Thank you very much. And don't worry, we planned 6 stories, but we didn't plan the end of the Bug War.
Okay, that'll be great. And if I can, to Jonathan, congratulations. We'll talk again sometime soon. We'll talk with both of you guys in months ahead, because I'm sure good things are coming.
Absolutely.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
That's it for this week. Please be back next time when I'll be speaking with another great comics creator. But until then, keep reading your comics.